Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Thursday, December the 11th, 2025, and I have the honor to have Professor Joe on with me. With that said, Joe, I'm going to let you lead here.
All right. I suggested to Stu, since we were talking, the reason that he called me was that he wanted to let me know that he had watched the documentary on the suppression concerning...
I haven't watched it yet, Joe. It was announced on TV that they have it. And then a friend of mine, she was over here, my roommate's daughter, and she said they're charging $30 to watch it. I don't have 30 bucks to watch it, but go ahead. It's a documentary.
Let those tell you. Because I reminded Stu that without Stu going through the crap of state blood that he did, none of us would have a concluding picture that would, so that you would have a overall view of really what's going on. And because, like, through your friend Ed Slade, tell him a little bit about Ed Slade.
He was a U.S. scientist at not Groom Lake or Area 51, but it was called Papoose Lake. It's the alien base, and our U.S. government works with them out of the White House, etc. But it's a base. But he was one of the, with Bob Lazar. He worked out there with Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar was a good friend of John Lear's, and John was a good friend of mine. And Bob Lazar has been all over TV about this Papoose Lake and how he worked out there. If you punch in Bob Lazar. But John Lear did an interview, and I believe he did it with Bob Lazar. And they did it on a TV station there in Las Vegas. I remember, because I was living just down the street from John when he did it. But there's been others, one after another.
Tell the folks that are listening how you met Ed Slade.
Oh, I met him there were several of us Christians getting together on Saturday nights at about 6 o'clock, and everybody would bring a little dish of some type, and we'd have dinner. Well, it started growing. So Ed had met a friend of mine, and they were having, it was at their house. And so anyway, he had invited him, but he met him at a damn restaurant, right, you know, waiting in line, started chatting with him, and they ended up sitting down and becoming friends. But that's how Ed came about. And Ed, when I approached him, after I told Otis Super Spook that we had Ed over there, he says, "Oh, really?" He says, "Ask him about element 115, mu metal. It's bendable. It's what our airplanes made out of, the Aurora project, and it bends. It shapes. But he said, "Ask him about element 115," and then he said, "Ask him about the polium that the saucers are made out of, and see what his reaction is." I did. He turned white as a ghost, and he wouldn't talk to me for 3 weeks over there. Didn't want to be around me. Then finally, he says, "How'd you know this stuff?" And I told him. He goes, "Oh, shit, Stu." So, anyway, that's how it came about.
Tell them who Otis is so they don't get lost here. Who's Otis?
Otis was a 007, a true 007. And I met him in prison in Denver. He was busting the Louisiana governor. His partner was busting John Gotti. They were both in the same cell together, sharing the same cell for protective custody. Well, when they found out they were in there and that he was Casey's assistant, he was William Casey's direct assistant when they murdered Casey, shot him in Bush, went in with two goons and drove a damn needle right in his temple, caused him cerebral hemorrhage. Well, Casey was on his deathbed at Bethesda for 2 weeks, about 10 days or 2 weeks before he died. And every nurse and every doctor that waited on him were all suicided within 6 months because he was running his mouth about what Bush had done. Otis went and visited with him before his death with his other assistant, the two top assistants. But Otis saw a lot of stuff, just like getting an order signed by William Casey had to be signed by Daddy Bush when he was vice president. And he was at the old Navari doing a human sacrifice, and Otis knocked on the door and had to wait, and then he stepped in and started looking around. He saw them all in there in black hoods and stuff, drinking blood. He said, Mr. Vice President, he says, "I got to see that you. You got to pull your hood back so I can see your face." And he says, he pulls it back, and He's sitting there reading the order, he signs it. He says, Otis, if you reveal what you have seen in here to anyone, he says, I'm going to come personally kill you. You understand? He says, yes, sir, and he left. Now, that was Otis. He was William Casey's direct assistant. Then he moved up to the NSA, and he was direct assistant underneath General Flynn. Now, they murdered Otis in 2017 after he said, Stu, don't worry about Mueller. If he doesn't do his job over this Russian gate and arrest Hildebeest, Hillary, he called her Hildebeest, he says, I will be personally arresting Mueller along with General Flynn. And then Otis was murdered. I talked to him on his deathbed. He said, they got me with Stonar, Stu. He was at VA hospital. They got me this time. They got me. He was on his cell phone. His son was there. He says, I feel death coming on. I said, I'm sorry, Otis. He says, Stu, keep up the work. I said, I will. But anyway, General Flynn, 2 weeks later, was illegally indicted to remove him from the national security, from the top. They were after. Now, General Flynn has a great video. I plan on putting it up here tonight. But it's a great video of what happened to him, the whole story. It's great, but Otis was a good friend. I even remodeled his house. Took me a year. He wanted everything done, inside and outside. I was working 40, 60 hours a week. Plus, I was doing my radio shows and everything else, and had my own place to live and the whole bit. But Otis was a good guy. He was a good guy.
Now, what we have with Stu here, we have a guy that is in the middle of it. So why isn't he getting the $30?
Yeah.
Per view, because he was personally there with people like Otis. And tell him your other friend, who was a pilot for George Herbert Walker Bush.
Harry Rupp. He was Adolf Hitler's pilot, and he defected during World War II. He was the best pilot the German Army had. And I got some people coming in, but he defected. And when he defected, he came to the OSS. Well,
yeah.
He moved him in the position later of being Daddy Bush's when he was president. He was his personal pilot who flew him out there to the place that we were just talking about, not Groom Lake and that, but Papoose Lake.
51.
Papoose Lake, Nevada. But Harry, up until his death, would transfer gold to Switzerland. He would transfer down there. He had a smelting plant right there in Aurora, Colorado, on his 10 acres. And he would melt down gold. They were buying up all the gold from pawn shops and different places. And he'd smelt them down into bars. And then he transported them over to Switzerland. Okay? But it made it look like dirt, silver dirt, silver dusted dirt. He would take bars and melt them down, turn it to dust, take it to Switzerland with he wasn't stopped. He would just flash his deal. And they'd check the load and look and see it was dirt and let him through. And then they'd take it back to the smelting plant there in Switzerland and turn it back to gold bars. And then he'd go deposit into the bank for him and then fly back to the U.S. But he had diplomatic immunity. Okay? Serious stuff.
Tell him when Harry flew George Herbert Walker Bush into Area 51 and Harry got out and investigated the little gray suits.
Yeah, but that was Papoose Lake, and he got out of his airplane, pulled it in the hill, pulled inside the cave, shut it down. Bush got out, he got out, and the guard told him, he said, don't go past that line. If you do, you're dead. He says, you got to stay within the perimeter. He said, we got lasers in there, take you down. So he stayed in the perimeter, and they said, there's a restroom back there you take a shower or use, and there's a cafeteria type deal, and you know, stuff in cold sandwiches and stuff, and there's a microwave and all that. They were telling him, you know, help yourself. So he goes, take a whiz and walk around and look around. He goes in the bathroom, and he sees 20 of these grays standing there in line. Grays, the little men, the little gray men. Fuck. He's going, what in the hell? It scared him. And then he says, I went over and started looking. He said, they weren't moving. I'm looking. He says, they turned out to be on hangers. They're suits. He says, I touched it. It felt like skin. It felt like skin. And those were the gray man's suits. Those are the invisibles, I guess. They put those on to make themselves look gray. That's what he told me.
So here we have a person that's been, how long have you been doing these shows, Stu? How many years?
Have I been doing it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
At least 30 years.
Well, yeah, it's with others and all the other, yeah. Clear back into the 19... Clear back to 1990.
Yeah. So there is... the reason I'm doing this is I'm laughing at all these... this documentary. And here we have Stu, who's in the middle of it. That's hilarious. To show you further that there is the big UFO involvement. Stu, tell them about how Otis pulled the trigger on and destroyed a UFO base.
What's that?
Tell the folks how you, Otis told you how he was, didn't have to ask the president to destroy this UFO base.
I forgot the story on that, Joe.
Remember, a French airline crashed, and they went back to find out what was going on.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they took out the UFO.
And it was Otis who pulled the trigger.
Yep, he gave the order.
So that didn't even have to go to the president.
Nope.
Well, that is it. See, these are the little stories of 30 years of involvement with the other breakaway civilization, the shadow government, which has lots to do with the underground. It has lots to do with the underground. Tell them, Stu, about how you got introduced to what was underneath Denver.
Yeah, the Argo Tunnel. The Argos, you can find it, it's up by the casinos. And there was a mining. The Argo was a mining, and they found gold, and they took it all out. But they found that the Argo Tunnel goes someplace else, to the center of the earth. To the center of the earth, folks. Now, I've seen the Aurora airplane sitting down in Colorado Springs, or in behind Colorado Springs, down in it's the growing fields down there. I forgot what it's called, behind Pueblo. And I'm sitting down there doing a speech and having a barbecue one evening, staying at the people's house, along with a sheriff from Weld County. It was a good friend of mine. Anyway, he had invited me and set it all up. Well, we're sitting down there, and it's about 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And they said, Stu, you're going to have to watch this. We're going to have the blue light special showing up here soon. Right on time. Boom, 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 boom. One light, a blue light, and then another blue light, then another blue light, then another one. Must have been 30 or 40 of these damn things. That was called the Aurora airplane. It shapeshifts, and it flies at 35,000 miles an hour. Aurora airplane shapeshifts, mu metal, element 115. I sat there and watched that. I said, oh my God. And I'm talking to Otis. He said, oh yeah. He says, there's a huge base in there. He says, huge base. And the South Pole's hollow and the North Pole's hollow. And Admiral Byrd went in there firefighting in the South Pole with those Nazis. Now, you mentioned the fact that they built a city in there on the south side, didn't they?
What they did was is that they expanded the underground base there at Denver. It had been there for centuries. Because what we now know is by whistleblowers like Stu, we know that some of these tunnels are actually residences of the reptilian fallen angel alien, and that's from the exact words of Otis, and how they had to take a census of these extraterrestrials, and there were out of these 2,000 beings, that's where Otis discovered that those were the fallen angels. And so what we're saying here is that here you have again a documentary paying $30 and you can get on the internet and get some first hand stuff off of Stu's past background and dealing with the underground and everything in between.
And there's a bunch of radio shows up there on Radio Bar 1 and 2, I think, that got a lot of the spooks. I'll try to resurrect these. This underneath our show that we do. I'll try to get these other shows up where people can hear from them firsthand. Like Gene Tatum. He's dead.
Tell them about John Lear.
John was a test pilot. He was a pilot in Vietnam, and he was spraying Agent Orange and so forth, but he ended up doing testing at Groom Lake, Area 51. That's where they test new aircraft and so forth. Well, he crashed one, and it messed him up in his latter years, but John was a good guy, and boy, they were after him. Here after him, but he went on national TV in a Las Vegas interview with a reporter out there I'd talked to a couple times. But he did an interview with him, and he was a good buddy of Bob Lazar. If you put Bob Lazar in the internet, Bob pops up. He worked at Papoose Lake with Ed Slade, but he was in a different department with the aliens. Anyway, John did an interview on TV about an hour long, and it was a local station there, and he brought out everything. I talked about how there's a pyramid on the moon, and he showed pictures of it, and he showed everything. And Bob Lazar joined him in that interview, and Bob worked out there, where John was a test pilot testing airplanes for the government at Area 51, Groom Lake. But Papoose Lake is where the alien base was. Anyway, just thought I'd share that.
What we're saying here is that the Area 52, as they said, that's the real name, includes Tonopah's base and one other base on Paiute Mesa. You have an underground base there. But what we're saying here is, again, is brushing the shoulders with UFOs. Now, how does John Lear know this? Well, Stu, tell him about John Lear's farm.
Okay, hang on. Go ahead, about John Lear's father?
Yeah, tell him about John Lear's father and his connection with UFOs.
Oh, fuck, I forgot.
Well, I'll remind you, John Lear's father worked in the underground skunk works in Santa Monica for Douglas, I think.
Oh, did he?
That's where they developed the anti-gravity machines.
No shit. I didn't know that.
So, anyway, there has always been, any time you get into the grand conspiracies, it always includes UFOs. Why? And that's because of the fallen angel alien that we learned from Stu, who learned it from Otis. And right now, David Icke is talking again about the fallen angel alien reptilian. And people tell us nonsense. Well, put in your YouTube channel and put in Credo Mutua, and it's David Icke's interview of this Zulu shaman that was taken captive and introduced to the underground reptilian. And he has a little necklace that's, not a little, but it's a copper necklace that is about 3,000 years old. And then you see these little shaped dolls, reptilians, and greys. How is this? And Credo Mutua tells a little bit about the real story of mankind. And it goes back, way back. So this is here we have a documentary. If we have an individual that you get on the internet for nothing and listen to some of his shows, you'll hear some of these stories.
Okay, Joe. Have we pretty much covered everything?
Yeah, they'll give everybody about the documentary.
Yeah, that documentary. I'll try to get it. I'll try to find it. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk later.
Okay, my friend. Thank you.
Okay.
You got anything else to add?
No, that's it.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. I'll talk to you.
Okay.
Bye.